It's so funny when you hear the music during this sort of running obituary process, which is going to be going on for a while. You're reminded of just the great dance songs, the great pop tunes in general that Michael Jackson or the Jacksons or the Jackson 5, various incarnations, came up with over the years. But that'll always be one of my favorites. Oh, so cool. And that was just as Michael Jackson was sort of branching out as his own talent and then kept coming back to the nest, as it were, to keep working with the brothers so that everybody could eat. You know, I mean, that a lot of that Jackson's work, the latter day Jackson's work, was just done out of respect for the brothers Jackson, so that they could all take care of their families too. Even though Michael had become the undisputed star, so we're talking about what happened to Michael Jackson. What really happened to Michael Jackson? And I think we're hearing some distinct points of view, some things that we've offered. Art Bell had a thought about something about Michael Jackson, which I never would have thought I would have heard Art Bell say. That happened last night when he was filling in for George. I'll share that with you coming up. And Dr. Christian von Lauer joins us next. He was on recently talking with his business and writing partner about fairies and elves and all of the little people that are around us all the time. But he also has work as a medical intuitive, and that's what took him into Neverland, and we'll get to that next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Ponet. Dr. Christian von Lauer was with us back, was it March when we did?
Last year or something, right?
Was it last year? Was it last fall?
I think it was December. It was December of last year.
Okay.
That's right.
It was fresher in my mind than that.
Yeah, I was just on with your other host.
With George?
Last month, yes, on 2012.
Very good. So,
how are you, Ian, by the way?
I'm well, thank you. Yeah, and thank you for reaching out to us. I thought this was interesting. Now, I want to make sure I'm getting the information right, though.
Sure.
So, you as a psychic, as a medium, as an intuitive, a medical intuitive, you have information about the death of Michael Jackson, which I want to get to. But first, explain how you, through either you or through your agents or agencies, have encountered the Jackson family representatives. Exactly what are we talking about there?
Right. We actually have two things to talk about today, besides doing the medical intuition and having a sort of a channel session with Michael, hopefully, in the later half. I wanted to explain the preface, which is that I had an encounter with the handlers, I should say, of the Jackson family, in particular Michael Jackson. And this had to do through an association I had with a medical researcher and developer who developed a type of therapy. Now, this happened in February of this year. Early in February of this year, I was out there in Los Angeles, and I was consulting with this medical research firm and also attending an exposition out there where I was doing mediumship and something called clairvoyant medical intuition. They have interest in that because it allows me to look in the body and see what's going on in the body, illnesses, diseases, things with the organ, conditions going on, without having to go through the process of going inside the body. One of the things that occurred or happened then was that after that session, someone from the contingency that was supporting Michael Jackson called this medical researcher that I was working for because they had heard that he was working on a treatment that was of interest to them. So they wanted to put together, in fact, they did, this clandestine meeting there in Los Angeles. They contacted my client. They put together this late-night meeting in a hotel in Los Angeles. I have particulars and details of all this, too, but I'll keep it quiet at first, and if you want me to pursue it, then I'll give you some of those details.
Thank you.
So we had this late-night meeting at a hotel in Los Angeles, and there were a group of representatives for Michael Jackson. This, of course, is the Michael Jackson superstar. So they want my client to come to the hotel and talk to them about this new therapy that he had and a device because it may be the only thing that they could use to save Michael Jackson.
Now, hold there just for a second,
sure.
Because save Michael Jackson can mean all sorts of things. In January, for example, of this year, the National Enquirer was talking about how drug addicted he was. And Michael Jackson, in a story that was published in the Daily Mail today in the UK, talked about how weak he was and physically weak he was and how he was feeling unable to carry on as though he were going to die.
Uh-huh.
What do you know? What can you talk about now that he has passed?
Okay.
About what the handlers for Michael Jackson said that Michael Jackson was fearing the most.
Okay. Actually, we know what was going on, and I should tell you that although this meeting ensued without me, that my client was in constant cell phone connection with me, because I had predicted that this would happen, actually to almost to the day, that something miraculous or very substantial would be happening related to his product. So they call him, he goes there, and they actually informed him of the condition that Michael Jackson was suffering from. He was suffering from extreme bacteria and inability to fight that bacteria. He was addicted to many kinds of medication, and he was not expected to live at all. And so, having tried their various therapies, which was some injections and some vitamin C and things of that nature, they also needed an additional therapy to actually stop the infection because there was no way they were succeeding at doing that. So their message was that he was going to die. So they needed an approach that would fight off the bacteria, which means, of course, that he had MRSA, M-R-S-A. But also, when I...
Wait, no. So you got to back up for a second.
Yes.
So when you say... So he had MSRA, MRSA. He had this disease. Okay, that makes it so much more... I totally understand this now. Yeah. So somewhere along
MRSA
the line...
Or MRSA, if you use the initials.
Yeah, I've never heard MRSA before. Yeah. I've always heard MRSA.
Yeah, it's MRSA and MRSA if you want to break it down to the definition.
Well, MRSA, yeah, that if he had MRSA, that he had... The thought is that he had depleted his body's ability to have an immune system, to have a self-sustaining immune system because of what, overuse of antibiotics from all of the plastic surgeries?
Well, actually, you're right on. Because of all the many plastic surgeries that he had and because the doctors required him to take antibiotics before these surgeries, he developed a resistance to that. But in addition, while I was pre-connecting with him because my researcher wanted to get some feedback from me during this meeting, because we want to make sure this therapy was going to work, I found out that there was something else, and not connecting directly with Michael Jackson, but a little bit above him, which we call guardian angel and higher self, and we were getting something else. In addition to seeing the bacteria in his body, which is something we do through medical intuition, I also got that there was something animal-born that had infected him in some way, and there was also deterioration in the nasal passages as well. So although they mentioned the MRSA, I had picked up a few other things as well. Now they knew.
Are you implying swine flu?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm not. I'd say it's something else, and I don't know that we know what it is because I haven't seen it and I can't reference it. But I'm getting, because we see visible telltale signs, that it seems to be animal-connected.
Animal-connected.
And I don't believe this is – and he did – yeah, he's mentioned something later on in subsequent readings, so I'll see what comes to mind. But first I wanted to add those two things. So they're claiming that it was MRSA and that he had a series of addictions to many kinds of medications and painkillers. So we sort of know that as a fact going into it. So they had called me to validate the condition, and my guy wanted to know if this was going to work, doing this type of treatment. Okay. And I got that it would, because we actually connected with the Michael Jackson's guardian angel and higher self, which is something that only comes in when a person's in a life-threatening situation. Otherwise, we don't see the guardian angel.
Okay, sure. I want to go back for people just to make sure we cover this ground. So that this meeting that took place, again, this was February of 2009. And this meeting that took place, you weren't at the meeting, but you were in contact with your client, who is mm-hmm. somebody who is a medical doctor.
He's a medical researcher and scientist.
Medical researcher.
And he's developed a series of products in that field, one which pertains to Michael Jackson's condition.
And the product that he had was going to help enhance his immune system to be able to fight off the MRSA?
Well, this is part of pretty much a groundbreaking process. In fact, it just got FDA approval, but it will actually eradicate the disease in him.
It would have eliminated MRSA.
It would have eliminated his immune system, would have come back to a thriving condition.
And that was, and for people that don't know MRSA yet, yeah, we've talked about it before many times on Coast to Coast, but this is a particularly antibiotic-resistant strain that can get into your system and can devastate you in no time. Some people, they have no ability to fight this at all.
And when we see it clairvoyantly, it's like rampant in the body, so we know that the body's not fighting it. But also, Ian, when a clairvoyant medium sees it, when we see it inside, when it takes the color of green with yellow, we know that the body's trying to fight and isn't succeeding.
Hmm. And so what were you seeing in the case of Michael Jackson's body?
In his case, we see things moving all through the blood system because we can actually look in the blood, too, and see things moving in the blood, which is how we can detect certain types of cancer, hepatitis, and things of that nature, because they all have like a telltale mark, just as if you were looking under a microscope. So I wanted to verify that there was a widespread infection, but I also had to get a confirmation spiritually that this therapy would work because, of course, the researcher doesn't want to go out on a limb on this as well. So they decided to let the meeting ensue, and he actually presented the merits of the therapy. And there was a doctor present. I can mention a few names now if you'd like.
Sure.
Tom Harris is the name of the researcher, and he has a company called Harris Medical. Let's see. We did this at the Airport Hilton in Los Angeles. And this was around the 17th, as I recall. He presented the merits of the treatment, and the doctor that was there concurred that that would work. Now, there was an interesting group of people there. Michael Jackson's handlers were a group of about six people. One of them was a doctor from some nutraceutical company. The other was a lawyer-type person. And the group themselves said they were sort of working at the behest of a Hollywood celebrity, also of whom I know. And There was a representative that had an association with Muhammad Ali. I think it was a girlfriend of his at one time. And also another person on the name escapes me at the moment. So they're there. They present the case, present the conditions, I should say. And Tom indicated that the device would work, and he explained how it would work. And this Mr. Terry Warren, which is a PhD of this nutraceutical company called Nature's Finest, was the doctor representing them. He's also the CEO of that company. And so they agreed this would work. Now, there was something untoward that happened in this also, and this is where the problem started. Although they bought the merits of this, and they thought it would handle the one problem that they couldn't handle, which was fighting the disease, they actually wanted money to present this.
Who wanted the money?
Well, this is why I want to be careful of mentioning names, but this one person, the one that acted like a lawyer-type person, was the one that made the statement that in Los Angeles it's a pay-to-play type game. And so they wanted $50,000 just in order for us to present the device and the therapy to Michael Jackson.
So sort of a acting as an agent, a finder's fee, some way for them to...
Right.
Okay, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is, especially since they're supposed to be working under the auspices of representing him and trying to get him help when the therapies were proving that they would work.
Could this be a hoax? Is it possible that you were pranked, that they were coming after you to say, hey, give us $50,000 and we'll take this to Michael Jackson, but they had no real connection to Michael Jackson?
It's possible, but I doubt it because of the kind of information they were passing on to the other representative.
Okay.
And also the fact that these people are somewhat known. Like I said, I do have a number of names and things. I even know the Hollywood celebrity. And they sort of left a lot of telltale signs, and it looked like they seriously thought that in order to make an introduction of this product, someone would pay. And so my representative, or I should say my client, decided he wouldn't do that because it doesn't seem legal, first of all, but also he's not sure if they're representing this person in good faith and doesn't know what would come out of it.
Yeah, I would be completely suspicious of that as well. But this meeting that took place February of 2009 in the Airport Hilton, LAX, you said?
Yeah.
Right. And and that the this meeting involved this colleague of yours. So
his name is Tom Harris.
Right. And your feeling is that as in a medical intuitive, that you feel like that this product would have helped, this recently FDA approved product would have helped Michael Jackson, would have saved him.
I absolutely believe that it would have worked. And we also, and again, we use a spiritual process to go and try and get the answers, not just from us, but as I mentioned, their higher self and a guardian angel. Now, there is something that happens, kind of physically visible to us when we're connecting with someone's higher self, and things occur in a way that are analogous to scientific method, only it's a spiritual process. So we get validation that that would work. But we also get an indication that they were seeking us out. In other words, Michael Jackson's spiritual resources were seeking out a solution because he couldn't handle the problem himself. He was so drugged, his subconscious mind was so subdued that he couldn't handle the process of healing himself. When that happens, it's why someone's guardian angel makes themselves evident. Otherwise, they have no ego and don't want to be present. Then they reach out and try to bring about a solution. And so the archangel, or the guardian angel, I should say, tried to round up those people that could bring a solution to Michael Jackson. So, yeah, we know that it would have worked.
Tell me more about this guardian angel. Does the guardian angel have a name?
Guardian angels don't have a name, although we all have a guardian angel. We don't always see them. Guardian angels don't have names because they don't have an ego. There's no ego involved like the other guides that we might have or ourselves. And they have one purpose, and that is to try and get you to live to the exact term that you're intended to live to. If for some reason you can't, and usually only three things affect that, if you were very ill when you were a child, if you've had a traffic accident where you might not have survived, or if you've had a medical process where you've been anesthetized, then your subconscious is subdued. It can no longer be monitoring you in some background way. So that's when the guardian angel makes itself evident and tries to act on your behalf. And that's often when they reach out to someone else in some way to bring about a solution to the problem.
A previous guest, Howard Bloom, spoke about Michael Jackson as almost kind of a divine vessel. Said that he was imbued with a kind of spirituality, a kind of a connection that he had never seen in before and hasn't seen since, certainly not with all the celebrities and artistic people that he works with. Where are you with that?
I agree to partially. And when we channel him after your break, I think he's going to want to speak to that, so I don't want to usurp him. But I would say there's a lot of good qualities there, and from what I've already understood from him, people didn't see those qualities because they looked at him externally, and so they didn't technically see him in a spiritual way.
And
I think that's what's going to start coming out, and that's probably what your guest was referring to, that he had some perception of that spiritual construction of him.
Now, I had tentatively said that you would be willing to do this tonight, and I didn't want to commit for you because we hadn't spoken personally on it, and I know sometimes in the chain of communication, something can sound more promising than it actually is when it's time to do it. But I can tell from how you're positioning yourself here that you're good with the idea as a medium that you're going to be able to psychically channel Michael Jackson coming up here in just a few minutes.
Right. What I've done is I've talked to him. We're going to try a little process. I'm going to just start with a few questions, interactive myself, and then I'm going to let him speak on his own. And
would I be able to ask questions?
And then I was going to say, then it would be beneficial if you asked some questions.
Okay.
Oh, you mentioned they were giving him glutathione with that vitamin C or intravenous C also.
This cocktail of drugs, you know, that we keep hearing about, the Demerol, the Zoloft, all of these antidepressants and these different, you know, opiates that they were throwing in there too. In the end, is that what killed Michael Jackson, this overdose of drugs, in what you have been able to?
He indicated to me that there were so many drugs that he was on, and they were coming at him so freely for every issue that came up for him that his body couldn't manage them. So he sort of like was on automatic, and he wasn't in control of himself. And so the drugs themselves each had an effect and counter effect, and that was the problem.
Okay. I'm fascinated. I just want you to know I'm totally on board with this. Amazing stuff, really. Always will be. There's some people who say that Off the Wall was his best album. I don't know. Thriller still works for me. It was such a nostalgic kind of trip, too, to keep hearing all of these different glimpses into Michael Jackson's past over the last couple of days. And I had put some thoughts on this on a blog, if you want to catch it, at coasttocoastam.com. Just about, I mean, how much, like many of us, I felt a connection to Michael Jackson, but how much I lost that connection during, you know, the accusations and the stories that came out about how much money he had paid out to people to hush him up. And I just, you know, I lost him there in that sense. And I didn't feel a connection to him anymore, but I'll always feel connected to that music. And I hope that you're enjoying all of these bumpers, too, on Coast to Coast AM. Hope you heard last night on Coast to Coast, Art Bell was filling in for George Norrie on a Friday night. And he said this. I'm just going to play it here before we get back to Dr. Christian von Lauer, who's going to channel Michael Jackson for us. He says he's in contact with Michael in the hereafter and that he's got a lot to say. So we'll let that happen here on Coast to Coast. But first, last night, Art Bell revealed this. He was a neighbor. Go ahead.
I didn't mention before because I thought he deserved his privacy. Michael Jackson, until recently, lived in Pahrump, Nevada, kind of down the street from us a little bit. And I never really mentioned it because, well, as I said, he deserved his privacy, and so I never mentioned that, but I guess it's okay now that he's gone. He did live in Pahrump, believe it or not. It actually did make a few publications were aware that he was out there, but again, I kind of wanted to protect his privacy.
Art Bell and Michael Jackson were neighbors. Somehow it doesn't seem so surprising that Captain EO would be a resident near Area 51. But just another piece of this very sort of Andy Warhol-like puzzle on the life of Michael Jackson. We'll try and sort that out next with Dr. Christian von Lauer, who will be psychically channeling Michael Jackson on this channel. Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. So Dr. Christian von Lauer, the author of many books, which you can link up to through coasttocoastam.com, but also a medical intuitive and somebody that had been peripherally involved in an exchange with some people representing Michael Jackson. The claim is that he had MRSA or Mercer disease, as some people call it. This you know, highly resistant strain of bacteria, which is very fatal. I think last report, Dr. von Lauer, I'm pretty sure, was that MRSA is the number one killer of people in hospitals now or something like that.
It's just everywhere.
So, this was something which, as a medical intuitive, Dr. von Lauer, in fact, confirmed that Michael Jackson had this. They had, they offered a cure. It didn't work out business-wise, and that's where it stood. But now looking back on it, we know that Michael Jackson was also being given any number of different drugs. And so appreciate you giving us the opportunity here. We're going to patiently listen as you do what you need to do, Dr. von Lauer, and then we'll hear you talking with Michael Jackson. Is that right?
Okay, yes, and we're gonna ramp this up. We can't go into full channel just yet because he's just crossed over. So I'm going to psychically get him started and ask him a few basic questions based on what I see around him and trying to get him to answer. And then I'll sort of turn it over to him and let him say what he wants to say. And then if he can hold the energy, we're going to take calls or questions from you and answer any impromptu questions.
Okay. So now I'm going to wait for a chance to jump in, but otherwise I'm just going to let you take it here, okay?
Yeah. When someone crosses over, the first few days is kind of crucial because their state of energy is different than after they've been there a while, and he has relatively crossed soon. So we do know a few things that happen. The energy that's in what we call our aura tends to stack up in layers where currently for us living, it sort of boils in and out and keeps moving to the surface in and out. So we're going to take advantage of that and gives me an initial clairvoyant observation. And I'm going to ask Michael some questions about that. Michael, do I have you? I'm here. Okay, he's here. Now, Michael, I'm seeing that your basic energy shade around you is going coral. So you're actually glowing like a coral shade of colors. But I'm going to break that down for the audience because I really see it's a couple of colors. And I'd like you to explain this to me because where you're at right now is sort of the this plane of emotion. I'd like you to tell me what's going on relative to these colors. And then when you feel comfortable, I want you to go in and start taking over the conversation. Okay. Okay, Michael, I see that in that coral, pink seems to be the predominant color. And we sort of know that pink means compassion in some way. Is that what it means to you? I was not understood as a child. I tried to understand others. I tried to understand children. I wanted the children to know they were understood and the problems where they were not theirs, but someone else's. I tried to be very accomplished at what I was doing. I started very young, back with the five, so I could use my music to tell others what was going on with me. I sang with the guys to try and fit in, to understand that we belong together. I tried to look good so my father would not think I was so ugly. I expected others thought I was ugly, too, so I tried to fix it. Instead, I became what I feared. Wow. So you weren't understood. What does that mean about the children you were talking about? People use their children to work through their problems. I tried to be very accomplished at what I was doing. And people make their children act out their problems, and they force their issues through that. I used my dancing to break the rules, to be myself. Okay. I thought the family would make me heal. There was no healing. That's why I sang with the guys. Family was always going to be my challenge. We just got worse. If we couldn't fix things, we just got worse. Life becomes a lot of pain, just pains and fixes. Okay, I'm also seeing white around you. Do you want to talk about that? No, you're not. I'm not done. Okay, what else did you want to say? I became my fear. You can't escape your fear. You have to overcome it. I didn't, so I still have it. I always hoped people would see me inside. I felt beautiful inside. I tried to present it. All my eccentricities were facets that people weren't seeing. They don't see them in themselves. The people took it out of me, but it was for them. I could do my things. They wanted an example of being all that you are, and that's what I was. Very good. Now, talk about the white. The white color tends to make things good. When we see it clairvoyantly, how does that apply to you, Michael? What did the white mean? Mom thought we children were bad. All people are bad. As God was her witness, she would say. She said being bad was ugly. I was ugly. I was bad. Things were black and white for her. She would think I was attracting my crucifixion. I wanted to be good. I made white a special color for me. I wanted everything I touched to be good. I could just wave my hand around and make everything good. I wanted to give people happiness, a better appreciation. Being good, doing good means you have to sacrifice. Well, I tried to give everything I had, but then I didn't have anything. I just wanted the same things as everyone else. I was trying to attract those that needed help. I was not indecisive. I just saw both sides. I wanted to be an inspiration. Then I lost everything trying to work for others. It means I must have been pure. Everything I had was taken away. Everyone was eager to take my rewards away. Wow, some attitude there, Michael. Let's talk about that orange color that was in there, too, that salmon-y color, pink and white. Looks like there's orange in there also. What's that mean to you? I wasn't a 10-year-old. I wasn't. I had business dreams and aspirations. I did very well. I tried to succeed at most things I did. It seemed that everything I could do, they would get 100 other people to do it for me. I was in a rush. I wanted to accomplish everything on my mind. I thought that power would let me get things done. Power just attracts others who want to do it for you. Okay, Michael. That's good. So those are the colors around you. So we know how you feel, and I know you're in an emotional plane. That's what the astral plane is all about, emotion. Can we change this a little bit and just sort of take over and tell us what's going on with you? Do you have any messages for people or anything you want to say? Hello, I'm out of my cage. I am somewhere beyond now. I am in a place that is both pain-free and carefree. I take it as a sign that I'm not so bad after all. Michael, you seem to have a little bit of a drug effect still. I'm going to tell the people something. Audience, when people first pass over, they don't suddenly adjust to the other side. They hold on to and remember a lot of things from the past. So part of his condition is speaking, mannerisms, whatever, may reflect his later condition. I just wanted to explain that. Okay, Michael, you can go on if you can. I didn't want all the drugs, not specifically. No, I wanted to be free from the cage where I couldn't be me. I was treated excessively for illnesses and discomfort that were apparent, but they always left the pain inside untreated. I'm going to share what happened, okay? Let me start with the happier stuff. I came over in a swoosh. A cloud was in my head. The blocks in my body were taken away. I could move. I could dance. I could breathe really well. Okay, so that's how you felt when you got on the other side? Yes. Excellent. Okay, and what did people meet you there? I hit the road dancing. Let me tell you, MC Hammer hasn't seen anything like the moves I'm shaking now. I got a fresh one I call the swirl. That's like a moonwalk with a twist and twirling high on one toe. I had a whole bunch of admirers when I got over here. I didn't know I had so many. And I gave them my new song. So I want to thank my fans, my many fans here and there. I didn't know there were so many. I miss Rojo. I miss the kids. They will remember the real me. I hope the trust will work out. My family, we were all connected. I always will be with you, Jackie, Tito. Jermaine, you were never second string. Marlon, the marvelous, so yeah. Randy, keep your balance. Your life is the real life. The Rebel, Kid Dynamite, and LT are forever the strong ones. Those are my sisters. Pops, don't throw in the glove yet. I never did. My mom, she already knows I'm doing good. Thank you, Oprah. Okay, there seems to be something there personal, which I'm not going to mention. Can you go on, Michael? Okay. There's been a lot of people around me caring for me, nurturing me till the end. You will find one day that I am eternally grateful. Thank you, Kristen, for walking me through the darkest hour. Thank you, Ian. I'm sure I have more airtime than you do, but I want to say hello.
Can I ask a question at this point?
Go ahead and let's just see how he takes to it.
The question being that is he was he happy in life? Was it a happy life?
Michael, do you understand that? I was happy in the imagination of what I thought life was going to be. But I didn't get to carry out my dreams. I had to do it the way other people told me to do it. But I was happy in what I felt inside. I was happy in what I wanted to do and what I wanted to accomplish. I was happy in how I wanted to make people feel. I just wasn't happy in the way it came about. The oxygen tank was half empty. Did it run out? There's something wrong with the air. There was something wrong with the air. It wasn't, I wasn't gone eight. It was 18, eight or 18. I'm not sure when I passed. There's something wrong with that.
Does he have any regrets on the way in which he behaved himself around children? Things that he has been accused of that he would like to set the record straight on now or confess to as part of his process?
I have regrets, and I also was proud of what I was trying to accomplish because I was trying to let them know at first that they were okay and understood, that somebody understood them, that I felt the way they felt, that I had been there. Some of the things I did was more because I felt their age. It might be like things that you do or did at that age, and that's the part I regret. But for the most part, I was trying to make them feel accepted.
Okay. Does that speak to regret, something that you feel like you need to take responsibility for or to atone for behaviors you had around children?
Oh, I do. And it will always be with me. It's something that I always have to take care of, and I'll always be with them, too, trying to fix those things. But in a way, I got confused because I thought it was like them and with them, and I was getting drawn into it, and I regret it because I was an older person. I can't fix it now where I'm at, but at the time, the drugs made me uninhibited, and I sort of went with my feelings, and I had this space, I think it's called, to do what I was feeling.
Do you regret the plastic surgeries and the attempt, some people say, to make you look like Elvis?
No.
No.
My father thought I was ugly. Everyone thought I was ugly. He used to constantly punish me. I don't really blame him. I was just trying to be what I thought or imagined that he wanted. So I was trying to be beautiful outside to make it look outside like I felt inside.
Well, I'm going to ask Dr. Christian von Lauer, who you're hearing here on the other end of the phone, who, as a psychic medium, says that he's been in contact with Michael Jackson since shortly after Michael Jackson's passing. And I was told before we went into this particular segment that there could be the possibility, and we'll find out more in just a minute, that he would be able to hold over after the top of the hour and take some calls from you all if you had a question that you wanted to ask Michael Jackson. And as you are hearing it here live on Coast to Coast AM, if you've got a question, if you've got a statement you want to pass along to Michael Jackson, this may be your only opportunity. You might want to take it while you have it. And we'll give you the numbers here after the top of the hour next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.